In John 4 this morning, so keep your Bibles open, and I'm going to reference it quite a bit, and it's not going to be on the screen, so keep your Bibles open, you'll need to look down pretty often. But hey, without food, humans can survive for, on average, around 2 months. Without water, humans can survive for around 3 days. Without food, 2 months. Without water, 3 days. Drinking water is absolutely essential to sustain life, right? There's no getting around it. You have to drink water. You can't live without water. In 2013, some friends and I went to a music festival held at Sydney Showground called Big Day Out. And basically, it was where 37 different bands played on 7 stages and stadiums across the showground all day. It was so much fun. There was so much good music to listen to. So many of my favorite bands were there. But it just so happened that the day in question was also the hottest day on record in Sydney up to that point, hitting a scorching 45 degrees Celsius. And here's the kicker. You couldn't bring water into the festival. You had to buy it there for $8 a bottle. Now, having just finished high school at the time, I didn't have very much money, and I could just kind of scrape together enough to buy one bottle of water, right? It's funny how quickly you realize just how much you need water when you suddenly don't have access to it. And more than 200 people sought medical help that day for dehydration. And by the end of the afternoon, my friends and I, we were not feeling well. But then something glorious happened. Something amazing. We wandered into one of the stadiums, and there, tucked away in the corner, was a water refill station. Free water. As much as you can drink. It was incredible. It was amazing. Water never tasted so sweet as that day. Water is one of those things in life that we need, right? We depend on water. And the feeling of being thirsty is not actually a good feeling. It's not a nice feeling because it tells us that we are missing something that we need. That's what thirst is. Today in our passage that we just read, there's lots of talk about water and there's lots of talk about being thirsty, but it's actually about a need that we all have, which is infinitely greater than physical thirst. And it's also about a solution that satisfies more completely than physical water ever could. So as we dive into God's word this morning in John 4, let's pray together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Please help us to have ears to hear and hearts to receive it today. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Well, we're in John chapter 4 this morning, and in verses 1 to 3, we find out that trouble is stirring with the Pharisees in the region of Judea, in the south of Israel, where Jesus has been. Jesus hears about this, and so he decides he's going to leave the area. It's not because he's afraid, it's because the time has not yet come for him to go head to head with the Pharisees just yet. That will come later. But for now, he heads off towards Galilee, in the north of Israel. John tells us in verse 4 that on the way, have a look, he had to go through Samaria. Which is interesting because geographically speaking, he didn't have to go through Samaria at all. Whenever a Jew had to travel from Judea in the south up to Galilee in the north, they would go around either side of Samaria in the middle. Actually, Jews would avoid traveling through Samaria at all costs. And the reason is because, as we heard a moment ago in the kids' spot, the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. The Samaritans, they were a part Jewish, mixed race of people living in the northern region of Israel. The Judean Israelites who lived in the south, they thought that this people were an abomination, a loss of racial and religious purity because they had married outside of the Jewish community. They'd married foreign nations. And the hatred actually went even deeper when the Samaritans decided they didn't want to go all the way into Jerusalem in Judea to go to the temple to worship God. And so they built their own temple in Samaria. Now, Jesus was a Jew. So what on earth does John mean when he says that Jesus had to go through Samaria? Well, as we're about to find out, it had nothing to do with geography. In verse 5, Jesus and his friends, they come near to this little Samaritan town, and the disciples go to get some food. They go and get some food for lunch. And Jesus is left alone by the well. He's tired, he's having a rest. And it's the heat of the day, and a woman shows up alone. Again, note that this is not the normal time of day for women to collect water. It's the heat of the day. Most would do this in the cool of the day. And as she comes near, Jesus asks her for a drink. Again, this too is not something to skip past. For a Jewish man to speak to a woman in public, let alone a Samaritan woman, was highly unusual. This is weird stuff. This doesn't happen. And the Samaritan woman is shocked. Have a look at verse 9. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" And then, as John helpfully points out, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Couldn't be clearer. But as it turns out, Jesus is actually not asking for anything. Jesus is offering something. Verse 10. He says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Now she's confused by this. "What do you mean? How are you going to offer me water? You don't even have a bucket to get water out of the well." Well, Jesus says, the water that you're drawing up from the well now, it has a purpose. When you're thirsty, it quenches your thirst. It satisfies you, but not forever. So you have to come back and you have to get more. But I am offering you water that is different. It is living. It is special. Once you've had some of this water, you don't need any more because it satisfies you forever. Now, as we sit here and we read this 2,000 years later, we have the benefit of hindsight and of seeing the whole passage all at once. And so we know that Jesus is not talking about physical water. He has something spiritual in mind. But the Samaritan woman doesn't know that. She wants this magic water, right? How good. This physical water that makes you never thirst again. She doesn't want to have to keep coming back to the well day after day to draw up water. Now, Jesus, he wants to explain to her what he really means, but she's actually not ready to understand the living water yet. It's like Jesus said to her in verse 10, "If you knew, if you understood the gift of God, and you understood who I am, then you would have asked for what I'm offering, the living water." In order to want the spiritual water, a few things have to happen. You have to recognize who Jesus is, and you have to understand your need for it. Right? You have to come face to face with your spiritual need first. And so Jesus points out her need. In verse 16, he tells her, "Go get your husband and bring him back." Jesus, he already knows what she's going to say before she speaks, but she has to recognize her need. He wants her to see her own need for the living water. In verse 17, she admits to Jesus that she doesn't have a husband. She tells him the truth. And Jesus, he actually knows more. She's had 5 husbands in the past. And the man that she's with now is not her husband. You might think to yourself, well, maybe let's give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they died and she's a widower. But she's at the well in the middle of the day when nobody else is there. That is not an accident. She is a social outcast because of her lifestyle. See, she keeps looking for something in men that she's obviously not finding. It's not working for her. She is relationally dry, and she needs something more. The fact that Jesus knows this without ever having met her before tells this woman that there is something special about this man. She's starting to recognize who Jesus is, and she's coming face to face with her need. She assumes at this point, Jesus must be a prophet, right? And so she asks him a theological question. That makes sense. Verse 20. We Samaritans worship God in our own temple that we built here in Samaria, but you Jews say it can only happen in Jerusalem. In other words, she's actually asking a question. She's saying, which is correct? Which one is right? Jesus' answer is the central point of this story. And it explains to us exactly what the living water is that he's offering. She's seen her need. She's recognizing Jesus. She's ready to understand the living water. So the obvious question, what is it? What is the living water? What does that mean? Well, humanity was designed to have a relationship with God. But when sin entered the world, our relationship with God was broken. We still have an inbuilt need to have relationship with God. It's part of our good design, but we can't because of our sin. And that has left a big empty hole inside of us. To fill that hole with God is the deepest and the most basic desire of humanity. It's the most important basic desire of our lives, like an overwhelming, all-consuming thirst that we need to have quenched and satisfied. But the trouble is that we don't always recognize that thirst for what it actually is. See, most people in the world, they call that thirst the desire for purpose and meaning. And so we try to quench it by filling that hole inside us with other stuff, with relationships, with jobs, political causes, family, pleasures, all sorts of stuff. But those things won't work because the desire is actually the thirst for relationship with God. And so, in his grace, way back in the Old Testament, God gave his people the temple. The place where they could go and where they could be where God was, and they could have that need within them for relationship with God satisfied. And so now we come back to the woman's question, right? Where should we worship God? Our own temple in Samaria or the one in Jerusalem? And Jesus' answer in verse 21, here's what he says, "Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain here in Samaria nor in Jerusalem." Neither place. Verse 22, "A time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." See, the old way of relating to God through the temple will not satisfy that deep need within you to be where God is and to have a personal relationship with him like you were designed to have. It's just like that physical water that she's drawn from the well, from Jacob's well. That water will only quench your thirst for a short time. And in the same way, temple worship is not eternally satisfying. And so Jesus says the new way to have relationship with God has nothing to do with a physical temple at all. It's a personal relationship with the giver of life that's made possible by Jesus' forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit inside us. This is the living water that Jesus is offering. It's not magic H2O. It's the Holy Spirit inside us. that seals our eternal life and our relationship with God once our sins are forgiven. And when you drink that living water, when you receive the Holy Spirit inside you, that empty hole in you that was created by sin, that space in you where God is supposed to be, will be filled up. And you will be completely, eternally, spiritually satisfied. You will have relationship with God even beyond physical death, into eternal life. The greatest need, the most desperate desire of humanity fulfilled. That is what Jesus is offering. Now, naturally, the woman, she's still a bit confused, but don't worry, she says. When the Messiah comes, he'll explain all this stuff. It's okay. And Jesus responds, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. I am the Messiah. I am God. And at that, the woman jumps to her feet and she runs off into the town. You've got to hear this guy. He knew everything about me before I'd ever even spoke to him. I think he's the Messiah. And many, many Samaritans believed in Jesus based on her testimony. And many more came to Jesus and he stayed with them for 2 days and he taught them. And they listened. And they accepted the living water. And they recognized Jesus in verse 42 as the Savior of the world. This here is the answer to the question why Jesus had to go through Samaria. It wasn't geography, it was mission. See, the Jews, they won't listen to who Jesus really is. They don't think they have need. But the Pharisees in Judea, they chased Jesus out over jealousy. The Galileans in the north, well, they only want Jesus for his miracles. But the Samaritans, they want the living water. That section there from verses 27 to 38, that's what Jesus is telling his disciples there. Here in this place, in Samaria, the harvest is plentiful. There are many people here that are ready to accept the living water. They may not be the likely candidates. They may not be who you'd expect. Actually, they may not even be who you want. But they want what I am offering. Now, here's where all this comes into focus for us. We all, every one of us, by our design, are built to need God. More than water, more than food, more than sleep, more even than oxygen, we are built to need God. We long to have that need satisfied. We feel something missing inside us. We feel a need for meaning or for purpose, or we feel a need for direction. And we try to satisfy that need in so many ways, just like the Samaritan woman. Maybe we hope that another person, a relationship, will satisfy that deep desire in our heart. You know, the missing piece of me. Maybe we hope family, maybe children, maybe even grandchildren, passing on our legacy or life lessons or money or making sure that our family is safe and happy. Maybe that will satisfy us. Maybe career, maybe the right job, maybe status, maybe power. Maybe that will satisfy. Maybe that will make us content. Maybe that will fill that void inside us that we feel. Maybe making a difference, maybe doing good in the world, fighting for the right cause, being a good person. But it won't, because it can't. Because that deep desire that we feel is the thirst for relationship with God. And the only thing that can quench our spiritual thirst is the Holy Spirit. It's the only thing. And he only does that when our sin is dealt with and forgiven by Jesus. Now, if you're sitting here today and you know that feeling that I'm describing to you, but you also know that you haven't had that thirst quenched by Jesus, what's stopping you? Now, what are you right now trying to fill that void with inside you? And let me say this. Even if you've been here your entire life, it's still possible that you've never accepted Jesus' offer and received the living water. And can I say to you today, it would not be embarrassing to admit that and to accept Jesus' offer. Actually, quite the opposite. It would be the greatest joy of Jesus and the greatest joy of every person in this place at St. Michael's for you to do that. My guess is, though, that many people in this room have been forgiven by Jesus and they have received the Holy Spirit. So here's four things for you to take away. Four things. Number one, be reminded that Jesus cares for the outsider, for the Samaritan, for the social outcast, for the sinner, for the one with nothing to offer. Who are those people in your world? Who are your Samaritans? The people that you write off, or the people that you never even consider as people who might accept Jesus' offer? Because Jesus didn't avoid them. No, he actually felt that he had to go to them. Don't discount anyone as being incapable or unwilling to receive Jesus' offer of living water. Two, be inspired by the response of the woman at the well. Now, she received that living water with joy and with excitement. And she went immediately and she shared it with everyone that she knew, and many people were saved. Actually, they weren't just people that she knew. They were people that probably hated her. And she shared it with joy and excitement. She didn't have training. She didn't have a Two Ways to Live pamphlet. The Samaritans were convinced based on her simple testimony and her childlike excitement and joy. It is so easy to lose that as time passes, right? As we get comfortable in the spiritual satisfaction that we enjoy as Christians. But let's pray for God to renew our energy and to refresh our spontaneity in sharing what we have with freshness and with simplicity and with genuineness. Three, be warned that it's our sinful nature to quickly turn back to temple worship. But true spiritual satisfaction is found only in personal relationship with God through the Spirit. Coming to church, being in a growth group, serving on Sunday rosters, praying, reading your Bible every day, those things are good, but they will not bring you eternal satisfaction. That is found only in a living and personal relationship with God. Never lose sight of that. And never let living God's way take the place inside you that's reserved for God himself. And number four, be thankful for what Jesus has done. You only know the satisfaction of the living water because Jesus offered it to you. Because Jesus died to deal with your sin. Because Jesus did all the work. You are not satisfied in God because you did anything special, but simply because Jesus chose you. Be thankful for that every day. And tell God of your thankfulness. Let Him know that you are thankful for that every day. Our God is good. And He loves us. He wants to fill us with living water to give us eternal spiritual satisfaction through His Holy Spirit. Let's thank God for the forgiveness offered through Jesus. And let's thank Him that He freely fills us with that living water. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Spirit in us. Your Spirit which marks our forgiveness, which allows our relationship with You, and which seals our eternal life in heaven. Help us to have Your heart for the outsider, to be refreshed with energy to share the living water, and to steer clear of putting anything else in the place reserved for You. And thank You for Jesus and all that He has done for us. Amen.